I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Have your seat. Glory to God. The life of a minister, a servant of Christ, is built on the instructions he follows. A man of God, a woman of God, must know the importance of instructions. When you start to give priority to instructions, it means you have gone beyond the excited stage of Christianity. A good number of people, they like information, things that tickle their fancy. Sometimes, it's maybe based on a withdrawal syndrome of where they are coming from. They felt, oh, I found a new sense of liberty. I remember as a younger Christian, I got born again and even grew under a largely conservative background. Largely. I mean that with every word. And then we started to hear some very good teachings along the lines of who you are in Christ. Maybe not that first. I think that came later. It was the first thing that I found out. It was a teaching. And what excited me about that teaching was that the man said that women can wear earrings, palm their hair, and guys can wear jeans. I felt I had met the word. That is the word. You mean we can do these things? Yes! That's not a case of, the man just, and what the scripture he quoted. I so liked that scripture, it now became my evangelistic scripture. Colossians 2:21-22, test not, touch not, handle not. He said it all perish with the using. I said, there's no do's and don'ts in Christianity. The first set of people I landed with, myself and a friend, and we showed the guy. He said, wow, God is gracious. He has opened your eyes to these deep truths. What truth? Nothing but our fancies. Test not, touch not, handle not. See, Christianity is not do's and don'ts. Christianity is what Christ has done. I didn't even know what he did. I just know what I can now do. We're so excited. And I'm sure that was not what the man meant. He was just preaching and along the line. You know, there's sometimes like that. You know, it'll be a 2-hour sermon. You just catch something said in 3 minutes. Reverend Adamsi Aroma Igwem, that was the name. And then he said, taste not, touch not, and do not. And then the man had a lovely haircut. The next day, I went to get a haircut. A proof that I had met the word was to change my air cord and start to misbehave. That's all we're doing. Along the line there, you could quote scriptures. We're now quoting and quoting scriptures. Scriptures that had no bearing with each other, we brought them together. Scriptures that are far from each other, we brought them near. We broke down the wall of partition, and we made a new man out of the scriptures. Lick them from right, center, left. Because we have found a new sense of liberty. Oh, I met the word. So, we started to put some cream in our hair. Look at from where we are moving. We are moving from, keep on palming your hair. Sister Jesus is coming back again. To the exact opposite. So, I started palming our hair. Then I now deliberately started wearing rings. Some of you cannot believe it. 2 rings, a bracelet, a necklace, to show I've now come into exigencies. Okay, so I will expect you to question my air cord, then open the scripture, beginning from that same scripture. I will now begin to explain my bad manners, not Christ. Begin at that scripture. I say, read the next verse. Okay, I say, wow.
You don't know the word. So, it was exciting. You know, and then somebody said, even the realm of fasting is over. Say, why? The bridegroom is here. You only fast when the bridegroom is away. Not that the bridegroom is with thee. All things are done. So, in fact, our madness extended a little bit. Someone said, I just found out that the prayer life of the new creation is just giving thanks. So, we just lift our hands and then we give thanks. Thank you, Father, for all things done. In fact, maybe I should add one more. A guy went a little bit extra. You know, insanity has levels. So he said, even Paul missed God. Some things Paul wrote, I think Paul was too emotional in his verse. But I didn't say that one. He said, Paul was just too emotional here. What's all this? He said, this is too emotional. That we should stop reading Paul. We should begin to read Paul in the light of the finished work. Okay? So what's the finished work? Nobody could say. The finished work, don't forget, is you can now palm your hair, you can wear rings, and you can do anything. So, as time went on, you know, there are some times in your sober moments, you say, you are getting mad by the day. You know, you should be able to tell yourself this, you are going crazy. This is crazy. But I'm always grateful to God that background of conservatism bailed me out. Because you will sit back and think, ever since I came in contact with this exegetical depth, I've been going very deep. So it was clear. Because everything has its own fruit. The moment you do not look at fruit, then you are an idiot. What is the fruit of this? What has it turned out? So, we stop reading the scriptures to please ourselves. 2 Timothy 4. Paul said to Timothy, he said, preach the word. Be instant as a season. Rebuke, reprove with all long-suffering exhortation, as a long-suffering patience and doctrine. Say the time will come when your people will no longer endure sound doctrine. Rather, they will heap up teachers after their own lusts. They will have itching ears. I love that word, hip-hop teachers. They will go and get what they want. They get what they want. Some people will join the church because they saw the pastor on TV and he was doing a deep exercise of the cross. And so they said, the cross, Christ died there, I'm crucified. I like this man of God. And then they will just hear a few things he has said. That Lucy in prayer, when fellowship with the Father, said, oh, I'm going to this church. So they get to the church, and then they are there. But interestingly, the video they saw was preached 6 months. Now, the church is having fasting and prayer. And the man is teaching dead to sin. Sir, is it not the man I saw on TV? Says the one. What has happened? You cannot be consistent. He's not consistent. This is not what I heard. You are an idol worshiper. That's what you are. You can't choose what you will hear from God's word. We're going to get to this in a couple of days. But you see, this is some of the challenges when you have a favorite subject of the Bible. Favorite subject. Something you want to hear. A man told me, it was 2011 or so. He said, I learned that you are a very, very, something grace preacher. So he said, can I have some of your teachings? So I sent them some. So he got back to me, he said, I understand what you are trying to do, but it means that you are not pure grace. I said, what's pure grace? He said, no, pure grace. You know, there's a lot of works in what you are teaching. I said, is there salvation without works? He said, yes. I said, no. I didn't say, can you be saved without water? That's not what I said. I said, what you are afraid of is not works. What you are afraid of is a works based on your salvation. You don't want the responsibility that comes with salvation. You think it's just about, it is done. No, there are works, not that difference. There's salvation based on works. And there is works rooted in your salvation. Can I have an amen? Ephesians 2:8. By grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of your own selves, not of works that any man should boast. He said that in 8 and 9. He said, but you are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God ordained beforehand that you should walk in them. Works based on your salvation. Getting back to my subject tonight. Said the life of a minister, therefore, or spiritual growth, is predicated upon instructions. Instructions. Somebody will ask me a question one day. He said, I heard this song that you sang. I don't know whether I can sing it. You know, he said, use me, Lord, use me, Lord. Should a new creature sing a song like that? I said, is God using you? He couldn't answer. I said, you better pray that prayer. He said, but I just think, is God using you? You could not answer. He's not using you for anything. All you have become is a district examinator or examiner of the body of Christ. See, is that song the word? Is that song the word? That's what you are doing. I said, you don't have an entitlement culture. Oh, I've been used by God. No. Our call to be used of God is a consistent desire. Not an entitlement culture. Yes, who is like unto thee? Should we sing a song like that? Who is like unto thee? Among the gods, who is like thee? I said, finish it. Glorious in holiness, is that you? Fearful in praise, is that you? Always doing wonders. So a screw is missing in your head. The moment you hear a word like this, you just say, pa, pa, pa. There is none holy. I said, no, we don't sing that again. Okay, what do you sing? We are now holy as the Lord. Keep singing it. We are now beside him. Neither is there any rock like me. You know you are getting crazy. There's a borderline to insanity you must not get to. Don't get to the point where you want to hear something at all costs. Hear God. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Hear God. So, like I said, we just were given to, you know, just loving, just exegetical teachings. Not necessarily teaching the word. It's just that pleases you. You have to be careful of building an idolatrous Christian life. As I always say, teaching is different from training. You can receive teaching and not receive training. Oftentimes, where that happens, that teaching never becomes part of your life in the long run. There's teaching. Information is given. And there is training. It's so basic. For many of you, for example, maybe some of you, you went to school, and what you are supposed to have done is a professional discipline. Maybe computer science, IT, engineering. I'm not calling anybody's name. But throughout 5 years in the college, university, all you saw were drawings. 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 Not even drawings on whiteboards.
blackboard or slate. Drawings. Drawings. So, you are able to, you know, if they say, what is so, so and so? You recognize it. So you are passing the exams. Just your ability to put on your head and put down. You know what that is in Yoruba? Put your head and put it down. That's all you are doing. So, the same person, mechanical engine, I'm not talking to anybody particularly. Then I say, something has happened, a simple device. You begin to look. This is not drawing. This is the device. You begin to say, hey, there's one guy. One guy. BSC. BSC mech engine. First class. Touch this thing. Say, I don't know. I'm not sure. Well, teaching, no training. Training is instructive, practical, real life. Same way, pastoring cannot be done on the internet. Pastoring is not done by WhatsApp group. If you have somebody who claims he's pastoring by WhatsApp group, he's a WhatsApp pastor. WhatsApp. So, there's teaching. There's training. Training involves teaching, but teaching is different from training. Don't get the information. The deep information. The depth. And you are looking at the doctrine here and there. Luke 11:1. Lord, teach us to pray. And you began to teach them. Wow! Woo! Hey! Look at the depth of teaching of prayer. Our Father. Father is the concept of prayer. Where as you release your word, the words of familiarity and affinity and consanguinity with divinity begins to see reality. In the place of prayer, that throne room, as you enter therein, power is received, power is coagulated within the confines of divine orchestration. That's teaching. What is God teaching? The guy's head teaching. Say, the divine mastery is therefore seen in, you know, there's some people like that. When they prophesy with lovely English. And I set forth the things that are done for. And they are within the depths of the secular region of the realm of the power of God. And there's no power in it. Good grammar! Nothing! Whereas somebody will say, in the name of Jesus, God said so, so, and so, it will come to pass. It will even blow God. God, it is His Spirit that spoke it. Does it matter? Does it matter? Your King James grammar will score you F9 in English. But is it the word of God? But there are some translations. Very good English. But very bad interpretation. So you can speak it well. And the effulgence. Go say what's the Holy Ghost saying? Stop this vocabulary. The effulgence of the maniacal. Sorry you. What is God saying? Is it God that said the forges? Hallelujah. Let it come to pass. Amen. So they've heard about teacher prayer. They didn't stop there. They even recorded Jesus going to pray all night. They didn't follow him. Say he was there all night. You could see depth of fellowship with the Father. They are writing it. They can explain it. You see them, 6 series on Facebook. See, it's a long read. So they are explaining prayer. Deexis. Deexis. ITO. ITO. Erotao. Okay? With all the debt, it's time for training. Matthew 17. He took them to a high mountain to pray. Ewo. The child leader is still calling prayer points. They are already singing. We are about to pray for
Indiana Jones.
They woke up in the middle. Hey! Moses, Elijah. Hey! That's why he said, say rubbish. Let us be tabernacle. Why would you say so rubbish? They knew the exegetical depth of prayer. But it is now time to pray.
See, it's not in the length. It's not in the length. I know, I can see. It's not in the...
So, sleep is in the length. Prayer is not in the length. It is up there. Again, Jesus, the God of Gethsemane, called it, took three. He said, same three, oh, same three. He said, let's pray. He said, while I go yonder, you pray. He said, yes, Lord.
Which of the prayers now? Supplication? Intercession? Or which one? Prayer of faith. Say, just pray.
I want to know, sir. So, you know, just to know, you know, to know how you taught us. I want to know the, what is applicable at this point, sir. The, God, from the Greek what I see, it's
okay. Just pray.
1 hour! You see? Teaching, they were there in the teaching. But they failed in the training. Say, can't you tarry for at least 1 hour?
Say, Lord, you know, we are tired. You and us are tired, but you know, you are Jesus.
The third time he came, say, sleep on.
When God tells you to sleep on, it's not a good thing.
So, they failed at that. They could teach prayer,
but they could not pray.
You see, some people give solid explanation on local church, on evangelism, on flowing with the Spirit. Lovely!
Oh yeah, come. Let us see it.
Let's see it. I was shocked. One guy that will speak flowery terms on evangelism. I saw the way he was preaching to an unbeliever. I said, if I was an unbeliever, I would have slapped your face.
Sir,
and you talk so well. Before you know, you have posted quotes. You posted quotes. M.O.G. One-on-one. And you're already seeing nations. Years ago in pastoring for a church, I took the chapter pastors, call them there, to go and do evangelism. And this guy, very lovely the way he would talk about the love for Christ. Oh yeah, let's go. Was secretary of all the pastors. And we went out. I said, go and preach. He said, yes sir. He was there. I don't know what he was saying. But the guy was just popping cigarettes and they were there laughing. And I said, what is this nonsense? So I went there, what are you doing? He said, wait, just watch. I preached to the guy, and I told the man, I said, you know, you're no longer a pastor. Or, you were never supposed to have been one. Evangelism. You can explain it. Evangelism is from the Greek word, huagelion. Actually, it is the, come off it, preach. Because if the end of teaching does not lead to training, you will lose the teaching. I've told you over the years, it is training, alright, and the depth of it that carries whatever doctrine that you teach. Training is in real life experiences. Knowing how to be led by the Spirit of God is different from being led by the Spirit of God. The knowledge is now to be put to work. Training is real life practical. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. 2 Timothy 3:16. Paul says in 15, From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It says in 16, for all scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction. Pay attention to that.
An instruction in righteousness. Patria in the Greek, which means to train, to raise up.
So when you talk about training, it has instructions, exhortation. Instructions involve do's and don'ts. Do not sit down there. Go this way. When it comes to training, can't you pray for 1 hour? There is time put to it. When it comes to training, pray always. It's not open check. Training is specific. Don't go this way, go that way. That is training. So training is not just information. Instructions, exhortations. Hebrews 12, 7 and 8. Writer of Hebrews reminds us of Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. He says, look, if you don't want instructions, if you don't want rebuke, he said, then you are bastards. So it is a bastard that doesn't love rebuke. He's a bastard. So are you not bastards? It's only bastards that don't like commandments. People, when they hear commandments, oh, they get unnecessarily weary. Why? Commandment is God's word. God's word is not just an information. It is also a commandment. So, teaching is in training, but teaching is not training. Let me say this. A pastor is different from a visiting minister. A visiting minister will come and, you know, give the depth of teaching. Remember then, I bring my friends to teach for us. I mentioned that at Believers Convention also. My friends will always come and they'll come and teach lovely doctrine. And they'll come in and explain, you know, say things. Some of them will even come. Remember one of my friends said, I'm going to say things here that you may not understand. I give your pastor the duty to deal with whatever I say. So I just go ahead and say those things. I'll just teach. There was one time, one of my friends came and he taught something from Psalm 8 verse 4 to 6. And when he said it, okay, was my duty as he left, went to the congregation and explained. So the next time we're going to have a camp meeting, knowing that I was going to, was a jointly organized camp meeting, but I was responsible over 70% of those who were there. So I sat him down, March 12, 1998. I said, Oga, that thing you taught last year, when you left, I had to do housekeeping. If you repeat it here, I will do open housekeeping. I said, look, because the people coming to hear you are my responsibility. You will go. I said, so don't teach it though. I said, number one, first and foremost, I don't believe it. If I don't believe it, you cannot teach it here. Amen? You can't. But is it not the word of God? I said it's not. Can people just have the right to hear anything? I said, no, not people that I pastor. You can buy it, you can buy airtime on TV and preach it that way. So people can switch television, watch whatever they like. Here, I am responsible here. See the difference? I wasn't just intended by information. I want to see how practical, how it will work in lives of people. Don't just come and say lovely things. No, Oga. Don't come and do that here. I really didn't like it. Was my friend. I said, no. You come here, I am not a visiting minister. The visiting minister that comes to dazzle you, gives you, he's trying to impress you. A pastor, no.
A pastor wants to build you. He wants to train you. That is why a pastor is given to repetition. Repetition, repetition. He doesn't just give information. He looks for outlets where that information will become practical. Outlets. So a pastor is a trainer. He trains you up. He nurtures you. So when you have somebody that you like his teaching, but ignore his training, that is not your pastor. You like the books, the way the grace of God is explained, the gifts of God is explained. Okay, now it is time for us to show the grace of God in ministry, in service, in giving, in conduct, and you shrink back. That is not your pastor. This is the reason why people naturally, carnal Christians, will hug and embrace online ministries. Why? Because they give them no responsibility for training. They don't like it. Because the guy has no relationship with you to see that you are actually being trained. Putting the word to work in your life. Teaching is not training. But training involves teaching, exhortations, instructions. Look at some things. Paul will say in 1 Corinthians 6, I give order, all the churches, that the first day of every week lay in charge. That is not an exegetical teaching. That is training. So you know that every first day of the week, you put something down. That is training. When Paul says, when you come together, every one of you must have this. Notice that what he said in Corinth, it had to do with the Corinthian church. He said, no, one before the other, then if one has a tongue, let it be like this. Now we use it today, but it was specific for that congregation because he was training them. Training them to do what? Training them to be orderly. Training them. So the person who is training will know the times for meetings. Will choose when to pray. Will choose activities for you. The pastor can't say, do as you are led. That's not a pastor. Pray as you are led. You can, anybody time you want to pray, just any time you want to do. You know, anytime, if you don't feel like raising disciples, no problem. Maybe that's how you feel. That's how God. No. The pastor doesn't talk like that. Deliberate, specific instructions. So, if you love a man's teaching ministry, doesn't make him your pastor, your mentor, whatever we call it today. It's when you embrace his training. I told someone, I said, look, this is, don't hear what I didn't say. I said, truth of this is, what you are doing, you did not learn it from me. In fact, he did something, he put it out on WhatsApp or something. So I took it. Interestingly, he had another thing, he mentioned me as his pastor. So I posted it to 3 or 4 of my friends. I said, watch this now. And they said, in fact, one person who saw my brother talk, he said, this one is definitely not learning from you. This is not you at all. So, you can love what I teach, but he doesn't really embrace it. Because it's the training that shows that you embraced it. You can't do that. And so you are learning from me. How? So, there is training, there is teaching. Teaching is not training, but training involves teaching. So I said there's exhortation, instructions. But I want to focus on one aspect of training tonight. Are you here? Because it will flow with what we are going to emphasize in this conference. One aspect of it. And I want you to listen very well. Because as I teach tonight,
I trust that the Spirit of God will bring some things to your memory. It will bring some things to your remembrance, I meant. There are some sins that will just flash about what I'm about to say. So remember, I said training is in real life experiences. Training is in actions. You will know people that are trained. You go to a house. You will know. When you see the way the children behave. You know, have you seen children are not trained? They don't have manners. They don't know what to say. They don't know how to talk. It can be ridiculous. Awful. So you have this part of it I mentioned earlier. I said training involves instructions, exhortations, corrections. But watch this. It also involves tests and trial. Tests. Someone say test. No, that's just somebody. Let everyone say it again. Say tests. Say it loud. Say tests. Say it again. Tests and trials. Tests and trials are a core part of training. You can't be trained without tests. A test is not a negative thing. Some of us have been embraced Christocentric Christology, grace, word of faith, who you are in Christ, finished work. We don't like words like test and trial. In fact, when you see it in scripture, you jump. That was why a while back, we're all arguing in the 90s, James 1:5, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Oh, we said, in fact, a reputable scholar, once said, not scholar, preacher anyway, said that James is written to babies. Why? So because you don't ask for wisdom. Wisdom is your own. But you and I know that in everyday life, you need wisdom. Let me see if you know that. You do. That is, move away from impracticable teaching. Everyday life. In fact, if you look at the setting of that question, of that verse in verse 5, from verse 2 to 3 and 4, it will be clear to you why he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So, the more you hear tests and trial, imagine if somebody tells you, look, let's get a practical one. You get to an hospital, and then they said, the doctor on duty is supposed to be a surgeon. Mark my words. He trained online. So he showed up with his certificates. He has never seen a sick body before, but he has seen pictures, videos, practical videos. So be rest assured, he will do the surgery right. You will get healed immediately. You bought a flight, they said the pilot, he has first class. He has first class in this, first class in that. But this is his first time of flying a jet. But be rest assured, his online degree is original. You say, I am not going anymore. Because you are not planning to go to heaven. Am I making sense here? Because you expect that before, or somebody applies to be your driver. Say, have you driven any car before? Say, I just finished driving school yesterday evening. Say, yesterday evening, but, okay, am I worried? Okay, don't worry. I am a very careful person. Naturally, I don't take risks. So what do you call this one? He said, because why are you afraid.
He has not been tested.
He has not been tried. So, you are worried. He has not been tested. He has not been tried. But he has mouth. Yoruba will say, the mouth is so sweet. He can explain. Actually, sir, you see, when a car is so close, you can just go under it and come out. Eh? Sir, I saw it in James Bond movie. Or, he learns his medical skills from Nollywood, where a man is meant to have a knee problem, and you see a guy with stethoscope testing his heart. Say, I watched it very well. I observed what they were doing. I'm a good doctor. He said, go and act. So, tests and trials are a core part of training. Let's go further. How many of you know that you would have loved secondary school, university, college of education without exams? Naturally. You say, why do you have to? If someone said one time, you say, I don't know why my lecturers don't have faith in us. If you have taught us, you'll believe that we know those things already. Don't you know some guys like that? Before the exams, they can make mouths. Some guys who, I remember in secondary school, when we got into SS1, some guys will buy a Babio. And till the end of the term, their Babio will be fresh. But they will always carry like this. Ababio. You know, I think it was the biggest textbook then. Ababio. Results will come out. Zero. The past question. Zero. So, which means that tests are not negative things. No, they are not. Tests are meant to show proof of what is being learned and what has been learned. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Look at that word. He said, be diligent to show that you are approved unto God. That word there is gotten from the word tried and tested. In fact, tried, tested, and reliable. So be eager to show that you are not a run-of-the-mill preacher. Be eager and diligent to show that you are not just an emergency person. You are tried and tested. A workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul is saying, Timothy, show that you are trained. Show that you have gone through fire. In fact, we're going to see this shortly. That the word there has to do with something that has been tried by difficulties, tried through different circumstances, and now proven to be reliable. You cannot rely on what has not been tested. You can't. I'm going to talk about this later. When you choose people in leadership in local churches, for example, they have to be people who over time have been trusted and tested. The guy once told me this, and he was very honest about it, even though what he said was not right. He said, when I looked at your church, I couldn't stay. I said, why? He said, even if I wanted to stay, I said, I couldn't stay. I said, why? He said, I looked at the hierarchy. I don't know how he saw it. It will take a while. It will take time before I can become a pastor. So I said, well, I've never thought about this before, but since you are saying it, what is the problem with taking a while? You are too conservative. He just wanted the pulpit. He wants to preach. Nothing wrong. 1 Timothy 3:1. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. It's a good desire. However, a bishop must be, yes. So, if you are sincere about your desire, the time to be tested and tried, to be proven to be reliable, will not be wasted. So, a Christian minister should never be averse to tests, to trials, circumstances that show whether you are reliable or not. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 to 15, Paul, in giving an admonition from verse 9 to 10, says he has laid the foundation, let each man take heed how he builds upon. Then he says in verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Then he says in verse 12, now if any man builds upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. Let's take 13 together. Everybody, 13. I wait for you. I don't think I heard you. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, it has both an eschatological implication, looking at what we call the day of the Lord, and it has an immediate implication that we're going to see. Which means there's nothing you can do or say or claim to say and do in the name of the Lord that will not be tested. Notice the one who is testing it. It's not the devil. The one who is testing it is not the devil. No. The one who is testing it is God himself. He says in verse 14, if any man's work abide which he has built upon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but himself shall be saved as by fire. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles, or anything better still, defiles the temple of God, it shall God destroy. So it's God that is doing it. It's God that is testing it and trying it. 2 Timothy 2:15 again. Study to show thyself tested by God. Approved by God. Tested and trusted to be reliable. So the element of fire that we have seen here, because some believers don't want to hear words like fire. Because of maybe a misuse here and there about the term fire of the Holy Ghost, you try to want to explain it away. Say, well, there's no fire. What we have is, hold on. This fire is the fire of the Holy Ghost. It is to test. It is to try to see that the object is reliable. It can be used. Listen. Same way you cannot use what is not tested, God doesn't do the same. He doesn't. He uses men to make them reliable and trustworthy. In 2 Thessalonians 1:8, we see the same fire of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the eschatological implication. But it has an immediate implication that we are also going to see. Can I have an amen? Matthew 3:11. It says, I indeed baptized with water, but he that comes after me shall baptize with the Holy Ghost. It says, and with fire. Then in verse 12, in Matthew 3, same in Luke 3:17, it says, this fire is not negative. He says, the fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor. Matthew 3:12, and gather his wheat into the garner, and he, Jesus, will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So we have the fire of Jesus, which removes the chaff, waste elements, useless things, things that are not useful, are burnt. Burnt. But that's not the only thing that happens there. They are also separated. So it shows you that judgment, now when we hear judgment is not always a negative slant. All the words judgment, katakrina, katakrimo, all come from a root word, krino or krina. They simply mean, pay attention, a separation, a test, and to show proof. It's not always negative. A separation, a test, and a proving. Separation, test, and proof. So, whatever we say is of God, scripture is clear. They have proof. There's proof. Let me go over that again. Together with the word test is the word judgment. And it deals with separation. When there's a judgment of God, the good separated from the bad. Which means we see the proof of that which is good. When there's judgment from God, we see a test as to what is good and what is evil. So it is both a separation, a test, and a proof. So don't see the word test or the word trials as negative things. No. They are meant to show proof. Philippians 2 and 22. Philippians 2 and 22. I'll start from 20. Are you in church? Paul says in 19 actually, I trust in the Lord, Philippians 2:19, Jesus, to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Now, I remember the workers' convention, or believers' convention, pardon me, where Pastor Somi go through many texts showing you how reliable Timothy was. Virtually all of Paul's letters were co-signed. You see him in all of Paul's work. All over the place. All over. You see the evidence of the fact that he's not just said to follow, he actually follows. So he says in verse 20, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Paul is not just making mouth here. He's not writing an eulogy on Facebook. No. He's not just saying something, a flowery statement, you know, something you say to me on their birthdays, or we are dead or something. No, he's not saying that. He says in verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Let's take 22 together. And you know the proof of him that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the Gospels. He said, you know the proof. That Greek word is the same word. He has been tested. He has been tried. And you can see that he is reliable. You saw the proof. Which means even the church knew that Timothy had gone through so many experiences. And say, this one is Paul's son in the Lord. This one is serving with Paul. Of course, it will take time. It will take different experiences. It will take different phases of his life to come to that point that you can see the proof. So, let me just say this as a side comment. People eager, hungry, desperate to have sons without proof. Don't worry. When the DNA result comes out, you see your life outside. Oh, that's my son. That's my daughter. That's my... Wait. Wait for the proof. Paul says you can see the proof. You all know you can see it. So there's proof. There's proof. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. Paul is giving an instruction to a church. Look at what he has done here. Which means that, listen to this well, a leader, a pastor, also has the duty in cooperating with God to test people working with him. To test. To see how reliable such men are. So Paul gives an instruction in 1 Corinthians 5. There's no disagreement on the connection here. Not seen any Bible scholar even disagree. That he told them in 1 Corinthians 5 that there's this brother who had his father's wife, that they should defellowship the brother and cast him away from their midst. So in 2 Corinthians 2, he now says to them, well, concerning that brother, said, well, you should forgive him. Now in verse 8, wherefore I beseech you that you confirm your love toward him. For this end also did I write. Look at this very well. I wrote for this purpose, that I may know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in what? In all things. So there are things you will say. You know you are going to change it. You know you are still going to alter it. Is to prove what is on the heart of people. Listen, I said it. I gave that instruction to the end that I wanted the proof that you obey in all things. Because you wonder, why would Paul say, can't you just argue and say, but pastor, is there no way out of this? And also, look at where he threw that proof. A divisive congregation like Corinth. A congregation that necessarily, some would have formed a camp. A camp for the guy, a camp against the guy, and of course, a neutral camp. But the neutral camp and the one for the guy, they are in the same camp. I'm neutral, though. I have nothing to say. No, you should say something. It is Paul, your pastor, that gave the instruction. Don't say, well, I don't just want to. That is a proof in itself of the kind of person you are. I just want to be independent minded. I know. It is just a proof of who you are. So Paul says, I gave that instruction to try you. Are you in church tonight? I gave that instruction to test you. I gave that instruction to prove something. There was a guy I called one time and said, get off the internet, get off the social media. No!
I won't explain to you why. You know, no. Let me see your conduct. Let me see your response. Let me see it. Do this. Do this. Ah, yes, sir. But what? It's to see how reliable you are. Knowing that you are still going to do many things without my presence. So therefore, Paul says, I gave that instruction to see how obedient you are. Romans 5. Are you learning something? So, never run from tests. We're going to see a couple of things in a moment. Romans 5, in 2. Paul says, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Watch this. Knowing that tribulations worketh patience. And patience experience. And experience hope. The word experience there is the same word, a proof of test. It says, patience will now work tests. That means patience is also meant to test you. Can you wait? Woe betide us when we have this microwave system of prayer. 6 steps to easy praying. So you stay there and begin to say just 4 things you are going to say. Heavenly Father, I thank you. It is done. I give you praise. So by the time you see people say, no, we tarry 6 hours. Say, what are you saying? You don't know your right in Christ. Remember my dad. You know, we had this argument over the way I will, you know, go out and pray, go into the bush. So he now started to lock the gate all by himself. So that I won't collaborate with anybody. So he locked the gate by himself. He had done something the previous week. All my books filled up in a wardrobe. He took all of them and burnt them. You know, there's ashes, there's ashes. This one was ashes. But trust me, less than a week or maybe more than that, I got all the books back. I only changed their location. So this time around, I'd gone out to pray, came back, and so he now went to the, and so when I was coming back, pardon me, as I opened the gate there, I had, you know, put somehow, put my hand, you know, and so when I was coming, I just said, where are you coming from? I first said, this day. I didn't expect to be there. I said, I went to pray. He said, I'm not fighting, he said, I want to ask you a question. I said, where did you go? I told him the time I left, and when I'm coming back, he said, what are you saying? I said, you're a young boy. I don't think you commit sin like that. I know you. How many sins are you confessing? I can't forget that conversation. He said, 3 hours, 4 hours. You couldn't have sinned that much. I'm your father. I've sinned more than you. I don't ask for forgiveness that long. God is merciful. He couldn't comprehend it. Not at all. So he said, just say, Father, I thank you. Say the Lord's Prayer. Give God praise. Then when the tests of Christian faithfulness comes in, they will fail at it. Because you have given them a wrong diet. You have told them 6 easy steps. 4 quick ways. 16 codes. 14 access codes to the kingdom. So you can get quick results. Yet, Romans 5:4, patience shows proof. Your ability to wait in itself proves who you are. Your ability to wait shows the kind of material and substance that you are made of. James 1:2. Is anybody in church? My brethren, count it all joy. Someone say all joy.
I know we rejoice at Holy Ghost meetings. I know we rejoice when people are born again. Oh, a man is saved. You rejoice. You rejoice when men are healed. You even rejoice when you have material things. There's nothing evil in that. But I want to ask you a question. When you are before difficult situations that you don't even know the end, do you also rejoice? He says, count it all joy. He didn't say, count some of it. He said, all of it. Joy. When you come against diverse temptations. You know what I know? Diverse. Diverse. Some will have changed church. Amen? Some will have changed this one. Change that one. Quickly. He said, are you saying, is there anything wrong? There's nothing wrong. You are only a believer. Is there anything wrong? There's nothing wrong. That's what he said, everybody beside the fellowship, he said they left me. It's just one fellow that stayed and you know, another person. He said, you know, I'm just wondering whether I did anything wrong. You didn't do anything wrong. You're only a minister of the gospel. It's not a private sin. It's not anything. You are only undergoing trial. I said, let me ask you a question. Did that experience make you pray more? He said, no. Then you have failed the test. Did the experience cause you to be more committed to souls? He said, I was discouraged. Then you failed the test. Did the experience deepen your consecration? He said, no. Then you failed the test. Because it's a test. A test. I shared the story last week with some of the leaders here. Because last week, to the glory of God, was 29 years that I organized my first convention, Believers World Convention, December 11th. And I shared the story to encourage people. I said, I remember, I was fasting and praying. We had chosen a particular class to hold the meeting. You know, the class, I even gotten a sister to help us put ribbons and balloon. So, backdrop. So I prayed, fasted, and all of that. Then the Wednesday, I think it was the Wednesday, was the Friday, Saturday convention. Then I was told that they said we could not use the place. And we couldn't use the place. It was free. We didn't have money, you know, to even do flyer. What did we just do? We just did some computer printout, and gave people. Believers World Convention. Come! And your life will never remain the same again. So, and that day we were praying in one brother's house, Brother Lumide Ajayi, and we were praying. After praying and thanking God for the convention, you now heard that there will be no convention. Fasting, oh, I had fasted, even fasting knew I fasted. So, one of the brothers was, we said, we've checked that school, it's not available, that school is not available, that place is not available, So someone said, he said, well, brother, we prayed, let's just move it to January. The Giants do it in January. I mean, January is a better time. I'm sure that class will have been free, another place will have been free, and all that. Another place will have used, they said there's a fellowship using the place, the school fellowship. So they said, what do you do? What would you do? I mean, let's just move it. They even concluded. I said, no. We are going ahead. I believe it was a test. He said, we are going ahead. He said, where? They didn't want to laugh at God. You know, we're bread. Bread don't laugh easily like that. But I know in their heart they were laughing. Where? I said, God will make a way. I said, no matter how, we are going to do that convention this weekend. I said, no matter the condition. They knew I couldn't go to my house. To do what? In Baba Shere's house. How do you want to do it? There was no way available. I said, we'll keep praying. We'll get a place. Later in that afternoon, in the sun, someone came back and said, we went to check, there was one tutorial they used to do at Etunere. They said, no, it's not available. They don't allow the government access to that. So, I believe the brother will look at me and I will still say, okay, I understand. I said, we are going to hold it. And made up my mind. That even if it's at the bus stop, that convention will hold. We'll just stay there and say, in Jesus' name, it is holding. So it's not just suggestions. There's this guy that told me that they used to do house fellowship, you know, in their compound. Someone said, compound? Like, class was like an event center in those days. Compound for convention. I said, let's go. It must be done. That's how we went to set up the compound. And put, wooden chair. And I went there and I prayed. This is the beginning to the uttermost part of the earth. But we have to do it. So the first day, small, we just had the meeting. And I was so, and I didn't change what I was going to wear. I wore it like I was going for an international convention. Next day, 10 a.m., we had the meeting. And they looked at me. They said, thank God for your life. I said, yes, it's what I can see in the future. It was a test. That convention is what we did in November, Believers Convention. It was a test. You must know not to fail tests. Tests are usually contrary winds, unexpected things. Tests are usually things you didn't pray for. Tests are things you didn't desire. Tests are usually things you did not expect. But they are meant to show proof. Are you in church? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Let's take verse 3 together. Knowing this, that the trial of your faith, that's the same word there, trial of your faith, worketh patience. Let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Lift your two hands wherever you are seated. Say, Lord, I ask for wisdom. Pray in tongues right now. Not to fail tests. Tests are not evil things. Lift your two hands. James says, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Not to fail the test. Because you cannot move forward in ministry without tests. Hallelujah. That's why James says, if any of you lack wisdom, insight in tests, let him ask of God. Rather than praying, some of us are complaining. Rather than praying, you are mumbling. Rather than praying, you are changing location. Rather than praying, say, Lord, I receive wisdom at this hour. I receive what to do at this hour. I am not seeing the devil here. I won't be tempted to see the devil. I see you working out substance in me. I see you working out endurance in me. I see you working out patience in me. I see you making me dogged, diligent in what you have called me to do. Can I have an amen here? So it's a test. A test. So if you lack wisdom, ask of God. So when you are asking, don't doubt, oh. Because if you doubt, you are wasting your time. Don't doubt. Say, count it all joy. 1 Peter 1:7. Are you still in church? I'll start from 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are now in evidence through manifold temptation. That the trial of your faith, what is it? Much more precious than the gold that perishes. That means, look up people, you can have gold
I am not reliable.
It's much more precious than gold.
That reminds of 1 Corinthians 3:15, we don't read it there. That perishes. Though, let's finish it together. Though it be tried with what? Come on. Huh? Is it fire of the Holy Ghost? Is it the fire of the Holy Ghost? But be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Say the trial of your faithfulness is more precious than money. The trial of your faithfulness is more precious than silver and gold. Hebrews 11:17. God himself tested Abraham. That's why I said, I know Abraham. He will command you after me. He tested, he proved who Abraham was. God himself. He proved it. So when you see their names in the hall of faith of Christianity, they are proven men. So as believers, I was going to say something. I don't know why I skipped it. One of the things that encouraged me that day, when I was told to postpone it, one of the things that encouraged me, just a bit of what encouraged me, was a testimony of someone I heard who said exactly what I said. So listen to what I'm about to say. Hear me well. I'll explain this later in the week. If you know that God's word in the Old Testament is in people's stories, listen well when people are sharing their stories. God uses people's stories, their experiences, to talk to you. I've heard people say to me many times that when we are talking about ministry and I begin to share some experiences, that somehow it's like something they had prayed for and prayed about just comes. Bam! And that just sets them right in ministry. That's how it works. That's why you must pay very good attention. So when he said that, I said, yes. That encouraged me. His father said, no. If he's under the tree, we are going to hold this meeting. Hallelujah. And what was God using it for? Is for a day like this. And I am still open for more. What about you? I'm open for more. Because there is more. There is more. So, if you want more, you must be open for more tests. More trials. More things that will look like they came to shake you. But they are there to strengthen you. In 1 Corinthians 10:6, Paul says, the things happen to them, verse 11, as admonition unto us, upon whom the ages or the fulfillment of ages will come. 1 Corinthians 10:11, referring to the congregation of the Exodus. He says these things were our examples, verse 6, 1 Corinthians 10, to the intent that we should not lust other evil things that they lusted after. Same as 11. So which means, and you see this clearly, that Paul's ecclesiology was built upon the Exodus people. When you hear Paul talk about the church, the body of Christ, the local assembly, he takes his theology from the experiences of the Exodus. That's why he said, they happen to us, they are examples unto us, that we should not lust after evil things as they did. In 11, he says they are admonition. In Romans 15:4, he says the things that are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of scriptures, we might have hope. So, we have things to learn from men and women within the history of Christianity that God has used. He uses men, he will test them and use them again. So Paul
In 1 Timothy 3, turn there quickly. 1 Timothy 3. Now, Paul is talking about bishops. Then he switches to deacons. Now, I've told you before, deacons are just from the word servants. Taken from the Old Testament, a servant of the, or a minister of the leader. So who is a deacon? A deacon is what we now call today assistant pastor or associate pastor. A servant with the leader. Now look at something Paul instructs Timothy about. Instructed Timothy to do something. Now he says in verse 8, let the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, nor greedy or feeding lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Look at verse 10. Let's take verse 10 together. Let these also first be proved. Who does the proving? Timothy. Prove them. And let them be found blameless. Let the one who uses the office of deacon be found blameless. Prove them. Let them be proved. Prove. What's the proof? Oh, this guy is a committed member of this church. Somebody came to me and said, sir, I know you have trained me well. I was listening. You have taught me. I was listening. So I said, give me 1 minute. I'll show you something. So I called. Now in our local church, you know this, we have what we call the study groups, the prayer groups, and then different data we have on your participation in activities. I said, come. Study group, 9 months record, 0. Okay, let's go for 12 months, 0. 18 months, 0. There's 0. So good. Prayer group, you belong to none. So you are not on any list. When last did you attend a prayer group? 0. Yeah. How many disciples do you have in the church? -0. I said, I didn't train you. It's so easy. How? I didn't. If I trained you, I would have seen you. It's not just like Matthew, you have taught me many things. What did I teach you? You are just a fan. In fact, Abebe and fan. Who trained you? You can drop my name anywhere. Call me Rabbi, Baba, Baby, whatever you like. Call me. But when I put things in place to see how reliable you are not found there. You can drop names. Paul says, prove them. Prove them. Let's see your participation. Let's see it. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8 verse 2. Hope you are learning something. Even prayer. Jesus obviously took the disciples, I'm going to show that shortly, to go and pray to prove. You are here. Pray for people. You are sleeping. You have chewed all the gum. Your gum is also being chewed. And you are here. And you are asking God to do what? How would he use a man that cannot pray? Explain it. When he became flesh, he prayed from beginning to the end. How would he now use a man that cannot pray? Hey, but I prayed, it's just that I can't pray that long. That's it. So, Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you. To prove, verse 2, thee to know what was in your heart. To prove you
to know what was in your heart. Because he called them his son. He said to know what was in their heart. In Exodus 4:22 and 23, he said, let Israel go. He's my son and firstborn. So he proved whether they were his sons. So it became necessary that Jesus Christ, who is the pattern son, was led by the Spirit, looked for one, to the wilderness to be proven. That's why the first thing the devil said to him, if you are the son of God, that brings to mind Israel as a nation. Turn this stone to bread is a proof. Is a proof. Led by the Spirit. He is led by the Spirit. He's led by the Spirit. To be proven. Jesus. Proven. So when you hear, he was at all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin, Hebrews 4, you are reading, he's been proven. 1 Peter 2:21. Following the steps of Jesus, 22 to 23, he said there was no guile found in his mouth. It's not a confession, it's a proof. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him see for who do you know sin. That is not by nature, that is by proof. Then the prince of this world cometh and he found nothing in me. So Jesus as a son was proven. Proven in conduct, proven in ministry, proven in death, proven in his burial, and definitely, gloriously proven in his resurrection. Can I have an amen? So proof is not negative. Proven. Proven is our Lord today because he has proven to be our Lord. Reliable. One at that. So, a believer, a minister, is trained by trial. By trial. Listen, God will bring many things your way. He will allow many things your way. Why? Because he wants to prove you as reliable. There are instances where you will fail. I have failed before. Yes, I have. I can count them different times. But you see, the thing is this. You learn to sit down and have a proper view of what happened. Sometimes you will fail in the relationship he has brought to your life. The people he has brought your way. The kind of opportunity he has given you. You will fail. Or you will succeed. Either way, anyway. But you have to sit back and tell yourself what happened. Did I use it positively? Did I use it negatively? In Revelation 2:5, he said, remember where thou hast fallen. Listen to this. Don't deceive yourself. If you have fallen, you have fallen. I was talking to a guy, and he was saying, he said everything. I said, do you agree that you have fallen? He said, well, I just think that. I said, is your first step to getting it right? You have still not said it that you have fallen. You have blamed everybody but you. I remember years ago, and that's very important. When you fail a test, first of all, say you have failed it. Don't say, he, she, they. Don't. Remember, a test is usually something you didn't want or you didn't like. Remember years ago, when Pastor Smoker and some of our friends I knew then, they had done their medical school exams. So I got to know from the brethren they say, so and so people, you know, and nobody said they failed. They just said the results came out, their names did not come out. You know, the brethren packaged it for me. Their names did not come out. Why? The printer missed it out.
Then they are trying to see one professor. They said that this has happened. And they, somebody said this way, they marked it. They went on and on. I didn't hear it from her directly. Somebody said that they need to see one result. Say, the brethren were packaging them. I know brethren are funny. I'm sure behind them they'll say something else. You know. So I just saw her like this, and a friend then I said, I was told I was the first person who said it that way. I said, you have failed. I said, don't forget, those guys are now your seniors. The ones that were 200 level before you, they are now your mates. That's the first reality check. Oh, fail. You missed it. You sinned. You were wrong. Don't package it. Is the lecturer? Is this one? Is that person? That's the first realization. Look, I failed this test. Is the pastor that said it? If the pastor, you failed. You are not a faithful church member. You are not a faithful pastor. Don't say it's not members that made you a beast. You were a beast. It's not the pastor that made you a beast. You were a beast. First of all, acknowledge that. Are you there? Don't say, is that one? Someone was telling me, what happened was that if they didn't lock down churches, that's what affected me. After I went on and I said, it's not lockdown that affected you. Lockdown exposed you. I said no. Lockdown is not lockdown. Lockdown exposed you. It's not going to Europe that made you carnal. You have always been carnal. You only had a test to show your carnality. It's not marriage that made you carnal. No, you've always been carnal. It is just time to show your carnality. So the first thing is, don't blame marriage. Don't blame your business. I've told you before. There will be people in your own circumstance. I will never forget the day. When I was just learning then, I spent about a year there. And I was a member of the succession department, so we went to pray. So as we got there, you know, if you are in law, usually anyway, rain was very scarce. So that day, the rain was torrential. It was coming in torrent. So we said, let's go, let's put our prayer meeting till tomorrow. I didn't take the decision, but I was a member of the team. So as we were saying that, somebody on a wheelchair was wheeled to the same place to pray. And I said to myself, this will remain judgment for the rest of our lives. We have 2 feet walking perfectly. And we are walking with those feet away. Somebody is wheeled to the same place to pray. It's because I have to take care of 2 children. If you look clearly, you see others taking care of 3 children that are doing what you are doing better. It's because I don't have a job. That is not the reason. Not having a job only exposed you. It's because of this one. Mm-mm. You see, until you first of all say, Shegu, you failed. I know life is very funny. As you begin to tell yourself a lie, you will now have a company of people who will come around to say, who were saying that, this and that. Because, listen to me, there is no ideology in life that does not have partnership. You find people. You failed. Don't say it's this one, it's that one. I remember years ago, I listened to this teaching by Bogwile Akoni, that's 1990-91. That story stayed with me for a while. He said that there was this guy, this man, he came to preach. So they were together in a meeting. I think he came to preach for him. An elderly man, almost 70 years old. So the man was, obviously, he could see that the man was so rusty. In ministry, very rusty. You know that this one is, this man has the call of God definitely, but he's rusty. So he now asked him, talk to me. The man said he must confess that I think as a boy of 17,
that he was called by God to the ministry. But he just felt that he was too young, that he should do other things. So he said, Lord, I will do this. Let me quote it properly. That the Lord told him to go to Africa, to come to Africa. So he said, Africa now. I said, I will go, Lord. But, I have to first sort out this. So he sorted out this one. After a while, when he left school, he said, I have to get a job. After he got a job, he said, I have to get married. He said, I have to also take care of my family. My business has to grow. And he was becoming very successful in everything. He said, my business has to grow, When my business is very solid, when it's solid, I'll serve God, until it was too late. Too late. Now, if he looks back, which the man said, he now will see that there are people who took all those decisions without compromising God's call upon their lives. So it is not your job that is the problem. It's not where you stay. It is the fact that you are still not trustworthy or reliable. So, a believer must tell himself, did I fail that test? A test of two members, one fellow, a test of new converts, a test of faithfulness with money, a test of faithfulness with the flock, women, a test of faithfulness with time, resources. These things come as a test. And they will come in different ways to see how reliable you really are. Look at the apostles. The first time we called them to pray, they slept off. The second time, they slept off. You know what happened? The same people who were sleeping in prayer in John 21, they were catching fish all night. So it's not the night that is the problem. It's not the night. All night. They were looking for fish all night. But they could not pray 1 hour in the same all night. So it's not the night. It's priority that is the issue. There are believers that can have vigil on gist. Yes. Movies. But watch this. The same people that could not pray 1 hour. Acts 1:15. They continue steadfastly in supplication. Acts 2:42. They continue steadfastly in prayer. Acts 4:24. They lifted their voice in one accord. So prayer was now a constant, which means that even when you fail, another opportunity will come. But make sure that you remember where you are falling. So the same people who had failed the test, because listen to me, don't forget that when Jesus told them to pray, he said, pray lest you enter into temptation. Which means they could have avoided the scenarios that happened at the cross when they all ran away if they had prayed. So God will bring back another chance, another opportunity for you. In the same place. Look at me, everybody. I want to say this very clearly. I've told you before. Never abandon the flock of God. Those of you, visa is always in your eyes. Anything in vogue, you'll follow. Hear what I'm about to say. Jesus said it's better if they tie a rock on your neck. Right? Than to offend these little ones. Listen to me. Don't abandon the flock. Don't abandon. See, ministry is not a hobby. It's dear to the heart of God. So, the test will come. So I'm going to look at three examples before we close tonight into the morning. The first one is Joseph. Joseph was a man that would deliver an entire nation. An entire nation. In fact, in Genesis 45, verse 5 and 7, he said, look,
It's for the deliverance or to preserve lives. That's why he sent me here. He actually said God sent him there. That's what he said. In Genesis 15, God has spoken to his grandfather, Abraham, that his family will be found in the land of Egypt, but he will come and rescue them. God didn't tell Abraham that Joseph was going to be involved. Nothing like that. But here is Joseph. He had a dream and speaks in the dream about, sorry, speaks about the dream to his brothers, then to his dad. That's the excited stage. He's excited. Oh, we covered the earth. Oh, you gave your very best. He likes singing that song. Ah, you gave your very best. I'm still that little boy. And he's singing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's singing loud and clear. He even singing to taunt people. Ah, glory unto church. Glory unto church. You know, he's excited. Hey, you know, I'm telling you something. We're taking over the word of God forever. Glory of God forever. Power of God forever. We're in this for the long haul. Ha! Woo! Ha! Woo! Okay? Fine. He's not mouth though. So, he has said that. Of course, naturally, which you should know, anytime you announce God's purpose, the devil will come after you. Oh, you don't know? Write it down. Oh. Anytime. As John said, this is my beloved son, Satan will come. Immediately. When you sing those songs, glory, glory. What's that song again? There's one we sang at camp. Let there be light. You know, it says, shine out of darkness. You know what darkness is? Shine out of darkness. Oh, let there be. Woo! I like that song. Ah! That song is my magnetic song. You don't know what's coming your way. As he said that, his brothers conspired. They were to kill him, then they didn't want to kill him. Okay, let's send him to Egypt. At that point, how would the song look like on his mouth? On his lips? How would the dream look like? Ah, I never saw conspiracy in that dream. No. Nobody shows you tests. That is expo. If you see the test, there is no longer a test. Nigerian students. Oh, you get my point? You can't see it. That's expo. How would this? He didn't show you. Even Paul. God, Jesus told Ananias, I will show him Christ when you saw from an insect. And Jesus didn't give him details. If he gave him details, why did he say, Lord? If this turn of flesh, is this angel of heaven taking from me? So, my grace is sufficient. Expo. There's no expo. You say, oh yeah. Oh, well. After WC like this, some people, they can make mouth. Say, wow. Sir, I'm inspired. Sir. Ah! If I one guy, he left one of the, it was 10 years ago, he says, I don't feel like going home. I don't feel like going home. He now said to evangelism. Cha, cho, cha, cho, cha, cho, cha, cho. He didn't come again for 5 years. Not too much. You don't know how to sing the song. Oh, what song I always remember. Is the glory there? Oh, 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 oh. Ah! When you see what glory is, they say, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh. Then he was there in Potiphar's house. But you know what? He was being proven. What was that? Because when you are good, you are good. When you are faithful, you are faithful. You know, I told you. He didn't blame his brothers. He didn't blame, you are going to say that, he didn't blame, but no! There is nobody to be blamed. You are being proven. Here he was. In the Potiphar's house again, he was now made the chief steward. Which means, look at me, brothers and sisters. If he was grumbling every day, nobody will give a job to a grumbler. He wasn't grumbling. He wasn't telling the story. He said, you know, he just sit down and say, Joe,
Why are you always looking down? Sir, you know what I've been through. You know what I've been through. What's happening? My brothers, my own brothers. My own brothers. Oh. You know, the guy like just said, no, we have to investigate this matter. And as they start the investigation, that's the end of God's dream for him.
No. You have to go back. You have to go back to your... No. This cannot happen. The guy said, no. We're going to file an affidavit. We're going to do this. And they said, thank you, sir. Thank you. You are God sent.
The farmer will kill all of them. Because he ran from the test. The man that will lead us will be ahead of us. The man that will deliver us will be ahead of us.
And in Potiphar's house, did he was still going well? You know, he was prospering there. Because whatever he was doing was going fine.
Then the man's wife. Because when you're a leader, you are charismatic. Began to ask him to sleep with him, her. He said, no. I will sin against God. And the woman now tore his clothes and lied.
Did a video. Put it on social media. Did a tweet.
I've been abused. Say, I'm wrecked.
What if I say,
you are dead. You are dead meat.
Jesus said, Oga, sir,
And the guy said, we knew it. Fine boy. Talking about, you see his life. And he goes back to jail. He didn't sit back and say, you see that song, Glorious Touch Has Gone. Has gone. Let there be light. He's just seeing darkness.
I thought I was even moving out. I mean, doing well until that how happened.
Then he's in jail. Again, showing you that look. If you take the training well, he was now made the chief of the prisoners again. Because if you are faithful, you are faithful. If you are faithful, you are faithful. If anybody could have blamed circumstance, Joseph would have,
that's how I sat very well in Potiphar's house. What did he get me? He's not getting me. Rape case. No. This one in this prison. I don't care anything, man. At least after all I've been through.
No. Character is who you really are. He's good. He's faithful. You know, if he was doing it to be great, it didn't make sense anymore. Hallelujah. It didn't make sense. I always say that boy that gave his 5 loaves and 2 fish, he was not told that Jesus was going to multiply it. He was just generous. He was not told that Jesus was going to, the apostles did not know Jesus was going to die and he would leave them physically. You know, so he wasn't told.
So I told you in test, you don't get advanced questions. You don't get it. It just happens.
When it happens, you ask for the wisdom of God. You don't go in the flesh. So what did he do? He stayed. Then the baker and the butler came. You know, they said they had a dream. You just have said, dream will call, nightmare. Who cares?
Don't bring your dream here. What dream? I don't care about dream, man. I just want to live my life.
Again. His gift. In the very lowest moment.
Baker, sorry. Oh. Butler.
The butler went on Facebook, gave glory to God, didn't mention Joseph.
You are the Lord that answers prayers.
He didn't mention how he did it.
You are the Lord who mighty God, you are the greatest. Without Joseph.
I
at that point. Even though the guy remembers, don't say the guy forgot. No. How will you forget such an important thing? You thought you were going to die. Someone else said you're not going to die. How did you forget? Even if you had brain surgery, the one they used to replace it will have remembered. Because it will know it was not there before. It's just in human nature. But God is still God. Hallelujah. He forgot. Then one day, the king had a dream. And then that guy, I knew a guy. After how many years? As soon as he got to King Pharaoh, interpreted the dream. The man said, to whom shall we give all this? But the man that has the Spirit of God. Did you see how he was faithful? When he had the first dreams, there was no proof. It's just a dream, just a song, just a prophecy. Now it's time to be proven. He interpreted it. His brothers came. Eventually, when he showed himself to his brothers, to know that he had been proven well, there was no iota of bitterness in him. That's how you know you have been well trained. No bitterness, no revenge, nothing of that nature. He's not gossiping his brothers. He didn't go and take Pharaoh. Do you know these guys? I just came. Who? I didn't know your brothers. Bro, may you have those brothers in Jesus' name. I don't know brothers. Tell me, Joseph, sir. This is not just saying, oh God. You are the God that will never fail. He didn't do that. He didn't expose his brothers to the kingdom. He didn't do that. It shows that he has been proven. That's the man. No bitterness. No ill will. No. He had learned the lesson. Raise your two hands. Say, Lord, I learned the lessons. Pray in tongues. Come on. Pray in tongues. I learned the lessons. This will not break me, it will make me. Come on, pray. It won't break me, it will make me. Pray. No, pray. I want you to pray. These are as important as the Pauline prayers. Pray it. Wisdom! To make me tougher, reliable, steadfast, faithful, dogged, diligent, committed, consecrated, holy, sanctified. Pray. We're not done. Set me on fire. Test me, prove me. Make me reliable. Hallelujah. Now, so that you know the import of what he did. Do you know, in Genesis 50, after Jacob had died, the brothers could never have believed he had forgiven them. So they now composed a text message using Jacob's phone. And said, Papa sent this earlier, even this email. What's the email? Said, you know, that is a prophet. And what happened? He said that, please, don't do anything to your brother. You know, they are your brothers. They were lying. He said, don't worry. He said, I knew why it happened. He said, you meant it for evil. Verse 20. He said, God turned it for good. He used it for his good. That means he rose above the circumstance. He saw purpose. He saw usefulness. Raise your hands and say, Lord, use me. Pray. Say, Lord, use me. Use me. Use me for my nation. Come on, pray. Use me. I hope you know what you are praying about. I hope you know what you are praying about. I hope you know what it means. To say, Lord, use me. It's not going to be on your terms. Come on, raise your two hands. Lord, use me.
Use me. Use me means prove me. Test me. Hallelujah. Let me say two things about Joseph. You know how faithful he was with wealth? Whether in Potiphar's house or in the prison. He now told them something. So you know purpose. He's wealthy, right? He has affluence. So that you know that that wasn't the ministry. He now said, there is going to be an exodus from this place. He took the prophecies. He said, we are going to leave this nation. He said, when you are leaving, he said, take my bones with you. Which means he knew it wasn't about wealth. He knew it wasn't about affluence or influence. It was about God's will. Ah, brethren, pray for yourself. Wealth will not enter your heart. Listen, wait. Let me say something. There are some of us, ordinary new car. They can't talk to you again. Ordinary new position. This man is recalling a prophecy. He's recalling a word of wisdom. He's saying it's not about money. He's not trying to keep his legacy of wealth. No! He's not trying to, no. He's saying, Lord, I must be a part of your plan. Take my bones. Please pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. That car entering your heart. The millions getting into your attitude. The position. You are now senior manager. You are now managing director. You now own 5 companies. Ah! You are a believer. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. What has changed your attitude? Are you still talking about the prophecies, the will of God, the work of the ministry? What was precious to Joseph was the prophecy. Brethren, pray for yourself. If you close your mouth, that is it. Oh. Pray for yourself now. This is not the time to doze. Pray for yourself. Money is going to come. Influence is going to come. Opportunities will come. May they not turn your life around. May they not change your faithfulness. May you not change friends because you now have money. May you not change association because you now have influence. Let what was dear to your heart before... Hold on. Listen to me. What was dear to his heart before all the trials, before the influence, was that prophecy. Like Richard Bonke said, let what will matter to me at the end matter to me at the beginning. See, listen to me. Never should you allow influence and affluence dictate your attitude. If you are a faithful person, remain faithful. Don't change your pastor because now you have a bigger car. Don't change your church because now you can travel anywhere in the world. That's an idol worshiper. Money will never own you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No position or influence or status in this world will change you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Begin to pray for yourself now. What mattered to him? Mattered to him at the end. It's God then, God now, and God afterwards. My brother, my sister, pray for yourself. Never get to a point that doing vigils is not important anymore. Obeying your pastor is not important anymore. Never get to a point, Bible study is not important anymore. Evangelism, you now do it by WhatsApp. You do it by Zoom. Come on, pray for yourself. Money will not change your heart. Influence will not change you. Pray. What mattered to him still matter to him. Wealth did not change Joseph. Influence did not change Joseph. Look at me. Look at me. We are not done. Suffering did not change him. Right? Trials did not change him. Wealth also did not change him. Wealth did not change him. Status did not change him. Influence did not change him. He still put his head down for his father to prophesy over him. Oh yeah, pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Your marital status will enter your heart. Your age will not become so important to you. Your position in society. What mattered at the beginning mattered at the end. Through hell and high waters, I remain the same. Whether it's enjoyment or suffering, I'm going to remain the same. Faithfulness will never be in my past. It will never be what I used to be. Lying well, open your mouth and pray. Years ago, I'll pray 12 hours, 15 hours, 24 hours. I am never going to change. I am never going to change. Wealth will not change this. Status will not change this. Influence will not change this. Hallelujah. I shared a story with the guy. We're still praying because I'm not done preaching. This is WCC. Abby? He went abroad. They started questioning. I said, look here. I now showed him a friend who is a professor of nuclear physics. He's a consultant to the White House. I said, Deji Alajo was the best student in UI and Poly Ibadan at the same time. That is, he got a degree in UI. He got a degree, an HND in Poly Ibadan at the same time. He made distinction in first class. I said, Deji is almost like a dean. In one of America's Ivy League schools, Deji is a minister of the gospel. You don't even have a degree yet. You are now being big. I said, look, God is using people like that to judge you. Say, because you now have science. There are scientists, professors, who are ardent devotees of Jesus Christ. You, see, you know, you are being like this. There are people who are billionaires, who go for evangelism. There are people who are billionaires, who give their attention to the work of ministry. There are people who are multi-millionaires, who are submissive to their pastor 100%. They are a judgment call for you. Now, pray for yourself. It's not America that is your problem. It's not Europe that is your problem. It is your heart that is being revealed. Pray for yourself. This is an hour. You don't take this lightly. It's not marriage that is the problem. It's not children that is the problem. No. It's not singleness that is the problem. It's not, you're not married yet. That's not the problem. It's not being a widow that is the problem. It's not being a widower that is the problem. There are pictures coming to you now. Pictures. Remember. Remember. Pray for yourself. Influence, age, affluence, status, possession. Knowledge.
Hallelujah. Sit down.
We have David. David was just like that. I told you earlier, I said, test, you don't get pre-informed. Right? It just happens. But the wisdom of God in you will let you know what is going on. It will let you know what is going on. In 1 Samuel 16, they asked Jesse to call his children. He didn't mention David. Not at all. Oh, say, okay, there's one more. They called Eliab. And then Samuel said, that's the Lord's anointed. And he poured oil on him. And that was all. David went back to do what he was doing. Look at that. He went back to do what he was doing. In 1 Samuel 17, he went to the war front. Eliab saw him, and Eliab said, what are you doing here? Just take care of a few sheep and all that. No. And the writer of 1 Samuel was careful to let us know that he left the sheep in a proper care. He was faithful in little. Faithful. Faithful. Brother. Cell meeting. You have missed five. Four in 1 month. They're just four. You've missed four. You have reeled out excuses. Excuses night and day. Excuses. I usually tell people, sir, I cannot make today's service. I ask them one simple question. If you were the pastor and you were meant to be holding the service that day, would you have sent that text message to yourself? The answer usually is no. But you know what? Such people will never be pastors. Who is going to trust someone like that? Who cannot be under authority? Cannot? Who? Who? How do you want God to do that? Who? Oh, they say, you even try, and they say, let me just prove a point. They could, you know, even try to gather a few people and say, I'll show them that I'm also called of God. Once you have done that, you are finished. You are doing ministry to show somebody. You can't last that way. There's Joseph. David. When he went before Saul, and Saul said, what do I have to do? He said, look, your servant once had a bear and a lion come after him. Don't forget that Eliab called him few sheep. Jesus is not a wealthy man. Despite the fact that he didn't look precious, sheep didn't look, it's not a high profile job. David was faithful in the mundane. Imagine fighting a lion and a bear over sheep. He gave everything. Over something mundane, insignificant. He had been proven to be a true shepherd. May you not fail those tests. He had been proven to be a true shepherd. That is why Jesus' name is called David. In Psalm 79, verse 76 to 72, David is, he said, he led his people by the skillfulness of his hand and the sincerity of his heart. The skillfulness, experience, and sincerity of his heart. Don't blame everyone but yourself. Blame yourself. Ask yourself, say, you, Shegun, you did not do the right thing. I would have done this if this had happened, if that had happened, if this one had happened, I don't know. You see, you are yet to learn. By the time you are murmuring, grumbling, and looking for somebody to blame, you are yet to learn. This is David. He proved his faithfulness. And strongly so. That's why, to know how much he held the things of God preciously, Saul wanted to kill him. David had the chance to kill Saul, not once. At one point, he even cut his clothes to show he could. Immediately he said, no, I failed the test. I should not have touched the Lord's anointed. He knew he failed it. He didn't say, but it's because he wanted to kill me. No! Don't say things like that! Don't say, I insulted him because he insulted me. No, you failed the test. Don't say, I return revenge because I didn't, you failed the test. Don't say that. Don't say, I'm human now. You failed a test.
David said, I should not touch the Lord's anointed. He knew precious things. Listen to me. Hear me well.
Don't let anybody who is of no significance in God's kingdom tell you can say anything and get away with it. You see, people that have no significance, you see, it's important though. I was telling one of my friends who is a younger pastor, I said, look, you have to look at proof before you talk, before you listen to people. If somebody with that significance is telling you, don't worry, say whatever you like. This one, you know, your household God's anointed. I've heard you, but don't be stupid. Don't be stupid, though. Saul was wrong. He had even missed God. His disobedience. Let's forget that. That's not an issue. But disobedience is not a reason to do the wrong thing. Leave that between him and God. So here's David. He held that preciously. Years ago, I share this and start to close gradually. I remember something happened. We went for a program. And a man we were highly respected. We were supposed to preach. So I was in Lagos. We were going to preach in Ibadan. So I didn't get to the meeting because I was at, I think, the environmental sanitation of that day. So I was at the express for a while. So when I got to Ibadan, I now found out that all my friends, were four of us, four of us were supposed to preach. At a program, like it was a Christmas, end of year program like this time. So they said they couldn't allow us to preach. And so things went on. So something that happened that was very unfortunate to one of my friends via a man we all respect. We still do respect him. It was something that naturally should make anybody react. So we all reacted, you know, we flared up. Not there, was we all went back to UI then we started talking. And, you know, we said very stupid things. You know, just in anger. But you know something about a Christian is that you will know when you have done the wrong thing. Your head will endorse it, but because you are born of God. That day, one of the things I felt suddenly, was like middle of the night, I felt very empty. Now, in my head, what we were saying was correct. Because, why was so and so happen? I don't have to give you details. You know, and we were really upset. That morning, I knew I'd missed it. And I said, if you sow rice, you can't get maize. I left that morning and I went to the man's house. He didn't even know we had done anything. He was not aware. So it's not like he knew that I went to apologize. No! I went there to say, in your absence, we said so and so and so. And I said so and so. Forgive. I said, pray for me. This is 26 years ago. I said, pray for me. I know we did the wrong thing. Because you see, I've told you before, I said it also yesterday, 2 days ago. People that cause you to err, usually nothing happens to them. It's you that will have the problem. So I said, please, sir. He was not aware of what we had done. But he didn't know the things we said. But if he was not, maybe God was aware. And equally, I was aware too. So, David was wise. Whatever the man did right or wrong was a test for me. A test of how you hold a man in respect and regard. A test of how you respond when you are hurt. A test of how you respond when things don't go your way. A test to prove what is on your heart. Go to 1 Samuel 6 as we close here. Hope you are learning something. I want you to pray for yourself one more time. Pray about things that you have said that you should never have said. Pray. Things that you have said that you should never, you now know, you should never have said those things. We all make those errors. I do too. But don't forget, remember where thou hast fallen.
Don't forget it. The things that you have said that you ought not to have said. You ought not to have said. Another opportunity will come. Because you are God's man. You are God's woman. He wants to use you for His glory in all the earth. You can't fail those tests. Come on, pray. Things that you have said that you ought not to have said. Anybody who tells you what you say doesn't matter is setting you up for trouble. Things that you have said that you ought not to have said. Things that you have typed, you ought not to have typed them. There are things I regret I've said myself. Things that you went to comment on, you went to like on social media, you ought not to have done it. I've done things like that before. But a Christian is quick to repent. Quick. Things you have said in your room with your husband, with your wife, with your friend, you have typed it, you sent it via chat that you ought not to have said. Hallelujah. Sit down. 1 Samuel 6. Close on this one. 1 Samuel 6. A very interesting story of how the Ark of the Covenant was stolen by the Philistines. And so after they stole the Ark of the Covenant, they started having different challenges, you know, and trouble. More than that, their own idols started falling. So they were wondering, is this just coincidental? I mean, what's the big deal about this ark? That, I mean, they just felt, maybe it's not true. Maybe, because it looks really interesting. They said, you know, why is this ark? What's the big deal about this ark? That, apart from the plagues, you know, the images, you know, are falling down and all that. So they now said they were going to have a test. Listen very well. They are not believers, but they had sense. He said, is this ark ordinary or does it have the presence of God? He said, how would we know? The ark looked ordinary. I mean, for them to have stolen it anyway, it looked very ordinary. Then they said, what we are going to do is this, in verse 7. We'll make a new cart and we'll put 2 milking cows. That means, cows that just had babies, whose natural instinct will be their babies. They said that we will put the ark on that cart and then put jewels of gold, verse 8, and return for trespass offering and send it away they may go. They now said this, I will now see. If it goes by the way of his own course to Bethshemesh, then he has done us this great evil. If not, then we shall know it is not his hand that smote us, it was by chance. That is, if this ark was meant to be in Bethshemesh, which is basically Israel, and that's why we're having trouble here, how would we know? Okay, let's put the ark on 2 milking cows that we know that naturally, we're not remote controlling them. As soon as we let the cows go, they naturally will go to their children. They will know there was no big deal about the ark. It wasn't the ark anyway that was causing the issues. It's just an ordinary ark. Because naturally, the milking cows should go to its babies. He said, but if in spite of its desires, it goes straight to Bethshemesh, then we'll know that truly God is in that ark. They knew that one of the ways to know what God is using is that natural instincts, desires, ambitions are secondary. They knew it. So say, let us see. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, there's a test for every one of us to see which one you will follow. The leading of God or your instincts, your own desires, your emotional dispositions, your own pursuits. So if this ark goes the way of the pursuits of this cult, then we know there's nothing supernatural about it. But if it goes the way of Beshemesh, they will acknowledge that truly God is there. It's not enough to come for a conference like this. But if you keep going straight to what you are destined by God to do, to what you are proposed by God to do, better still, to what you prayed about, to what you said God has called you to do, then God did. My dad told me something years ago. We used to have a lot of tussles and battles over the work of the ministry. So one day, I'd gotten older. So now told me something. He said, you know why I backed down from stressing you? I said, why? He said, your consistency. I saw through it. I saw through different things that happened to you as a person. And I saw that you didn't blink an eye. I mean, you didn't bat an eyelid. I saw it. I saw that no matter what was thrown at you, different things happened. I said, this boy heard from God. You see, men really want to see. The devil also wants to see. Is this just mouth you are making? Or you are truly dedicated to the service of God? Is it just what others are doing? Are you just excited? Or are you like Joseph, who in spite of his pains, his own ambitions, went the straight way? One last thing, I'm very critical. In verse 12, I close here. For Samuel 6 says, the cows were lowing as they were going. Which means, naturally, yeah, they wanted to go to their babies. The desires did not die. It can't die. The desires for ambitions and the things of the world will not die because you are born again. But you know what? You call them dead. You treat them as such. There will be grumbling sometimes. There will be complaints sometimes. But you know what? They kept going the straight way. In the lion's den, the natural instincts of the lions were to eat Daniel. But God said no. And despite the hunger of those lions, they kept away from Daniel. If an animal can obey God in spite of his instincts, I can obey God too. Obey God. Do his will. Go that straight way. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bring this admonition to you. Not to fail the test. As the going through the test, it will look difficult. Some things you never expected will happen. Some things you didn't desire, you didn't pray for them, will happen. Uncomfortable circumstances. You committed yourself to being in a local church. God has called you there. Then things, different things happen. You committed yourself to being in a relationship. Different things like that. But you must learn, just like those cows, to keep going the straight way. In spite of how you feel, pray for yourself. Pray for yourself.